Morning. I am praying that God would flood our minds with His glory so that it will wipe out all fear that may be still latent in our hearts. God has expressed the words, "Fear not." In Isaiah chapter 41, we read of such an occasion. Isaiah 41, verse 13 and 14. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Isaiah 41. Verses 13 and 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not. Who said that? The Lord thy God. The Lord and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Are his words important? We are here to hear him speaking to our hearts. And I wish to explore with you today the importance and the benefit of these words. As fear is the condition of every human being upon this planet. Fear, with its associated stress, is not meant to be part of the experience of a professed believer. It's not meant to be part of your and my experience. In fact, do you really love Jesus? Do you really love God? Then you should never experience fear. We read of it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John. Again, these are the words of the one we spoke of and studied of this morning in the Sabbath school. The case history of this man. And here he speaks and says vehemently, because he was the disciple that Jesus loved, and that was the beloved disciple. In John, 1 John 4 verse 18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And now, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you love God? And do you still have fear? I'd like to spend some time with you this morning to examine the fear areas of our lives, whether that is still there. If I still have elements of fear in my bosom, my love is not yet made perfect. That's what I read here. And I believe the word. If I really love God, I will cast out fear. I will cast out all sources of stress. I will not be tormented by any item of fear anymore. That is perfect love. We are here this morning to make sure that we understand the perfection of this love in our being. We read it there in verse 16, which was the preamble to verse 18, verse 16 and 17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, when the day of judgment comes, people are going to be trembling. They're going to be scared. Their hearts will stop. They will gather their faces and will gather blackness. And you and I, if we are among the redeemed, our faces will gather paleness. Fear is still not completely rooted out, unless we are aware that we must be perfecting it. The love that casts out fear. To be afraid. To fear is a very confusing item in the reading of the Bible, because there are contradictions of terms when it comes to fear in the Bible. Let's read another beautiful text that we are not to have fear, in John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be afraid. It's so natural, isn't it? When something pours upon us that causes us to be afraid, it's so hard to prevent the reaction of fear. But Jesus says, don't let it be. Let not your heart be troubled. My peace I give unto you. So here we are, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to his church and says, fear is not necessary. I'm giving you my peace. But then comes the text in Philippians 2, verse 12, which sends the mind reeling. And people have frequently asked me how to differentiate between these terminologies of contradiction, apparent contradiction. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, where it says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't fear, yet tremble in fear. Let not your heart be afraid. you can see this contradiction of terms. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, but work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When somebody is trembling, he's going through terrible torment of fear. Why does the Bible say to be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in fire? Why is this contradiction there? The spirit of prophecy comes to help us. It says here in Life Sketches, page 196, it says, we have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. So we have nothing to fear. But what do we have to fear? That we forget God and his wonderful leading. And that we forget his pure teaching that is going to take away my fear. That's what I do have to fear, that I would forget God. So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't be afraid that your sins can't be forgiven. Be afraid that you may turn away from the wonderful God who can take away your fear. So I'd like you to just take this very seriously here. We have nothing to fear except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us. Can you reflect back why you are here now? Can you reflect back as to what the Lord has done for you to bring you to the position of being part of the church that loves the Word of God the way you do? Go back and reflect upon your past condition and what God has done. Let's come to Ephesians 2 and just read that to reflect. Ephesians chapter 2. Reading there verses 11 through to 14. Notice it says here, and this is why we keep the Sabbath. Remember, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. It's Ephesians 2 verse 11. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Can you remember your first discovery of your separation from God and how the beautiful message of the atonement and the beauty of Jesus had flashed into your experience, and you were released from all the fears and the negativities of your life because the middle wall of partition between you and God had been torn down, and you were overwhelmed with the beautiful revelations of his love? Can you remember that time? Remember it. Why? The marvelous light, the leading of God that has brought you to such a position. Don't forget it. Can you remember that nothing troubled you? Can you remember that? Can you remember that there was not a single person in the world that could upset you? And you loved everybody because look at the wonderful love that God had to me. And you had no concern that you will ever lose that beautiful experience. It was just so heavenly. Then, what happened along the path? How does fear and stress creep back in again? I'm just amazed sometimes, you know, when these beautiful new converts come and they're released from all their stresses and they're just praising the Lord and they're just glorifying His name, and the older members in the church says, just wait until you've been in the church for a few years, you'll end up just like us. Whenever I hear that, I become very, very, very grieved. For older members of the church to quench that beautiful fervor by saying, we've been in the faith for a long time and you'll lose that later on. So why do the older members of the church say that? Something has happened. How does fear and stress creep back again? We read it in Steps to Christ, page 71. Here is how it happens. What was it that removed your fear? What was it, as you reflect back, that took away the terrible anguish? What was it that spoiled your fear? What was it? Rather, that relieved you of your fear, I mean? That beautiful love of Jesus, the beautiful presence of Jesus in your life, correct? Now here it says on page 71, Jesus says, abide in me. These words convey the idea of rest, stability, confidence. Again he invites, come unto me and I will give you rest. And what wonderful rest you can remember. The words of the psalmist express the same thought. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And Isaiah gives the assurance, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. This rest is not found in inactivity, for in the Savior's invitation the promise of rest is united with the call to labor. Take my yoke upon you and you shall find rest. Now notice, as you experience that, when the mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ, who is the source and strength of our life. So when you had that, your eyes were so overwhelmed with the beauty of Jesus, and then you looked at yourself. Whoops, big mistake. The moment that we look at our condition, we become afraid. Remember the beautiful story of children of Jesus walking on the water, remember? What did Peter say to Jesus? Jesus, if you will, I can come to you on the water. Is that right? And did he? He did. He walked on the water. And that's exactly what a focus upon Jesus can do. You can walk on the troubled waters of life on top, not underneath the waves. On top. And what was it that made him sink? What did he do? He turned around to his to the other disciples. What did he do when he turned around? His eyes weren't on Jesus anymore. And down he went. So, have you gone down a few times? Look, 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 and the Lord had to pull you back up again? Because fear comes when you're not looking upon Jesus. It says it here. Because when the mind dwells upon self, it is turned away from Christ. Hence, it is Satan's constant effort to keep the attention diverted from the Savior and thus prevent the union and communion of the soul with Christ. Satan is at work. That's what we have to be afraid of. That I will turn my eyes off Jesus. That's what I've got to be afraid of. The pleasures of the world. Now notice what it is. The pleasures of the world, life's cares, and perplexities. What do they create in you? Fear? Afraid? What if this happens? And this is happening now. And that, life's cares and perplexities. The faults of others. Oh. The faults of others. Or your own faults and imperfections. To any or all of these, Satan will seek to divert the mind. Right? The mind. What do you do with your mind? Do not be misled by his devices. Many who are really conscientious and who desire to live for God, he too often leads to dwell upon their own faults and weaknesses and all the other bits, and thus by separating him from Christ, he hopes to gain the victory. When you are afraid, you are tormented. And you are in bondage. That's why Jesus in the atonement came. So that he came into the strong man's house. And he partook with us of our experience. And he died with that experience. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, a heart of anguish and fear. A heart of, I want to get out of this. All this sort of thing was being placed upon him. And as we see him dying with that, our heart is touched with love. And as it says in Hebrews there, let's turn to it in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2, reading verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Are you subject to bondage? Are you bound by certain fears and certain inabilities to conquer? It's because of fear. If I will get rid of the fear, if I am filled with the love of God and get rid of that fear that casteth love, that casteth out all fear, then I will have victory. Fear takes away my victory. And that is what Satan wants to do, to separate my vision of the glory of what Jesus has done and is doing by looking at the things that Satan is doing. When he is affecting somebody in negativity, I look at that and I'm negative about that, and I'm overwhelmed by that, and I lose my character of love, and I become judgmental, and I begin to criticize, and I begin to condemn. And all those things that go through my mind starts to take control. So I want to ask you some questions here. Are you affected by fears at the present time which spoil your peace? Have you got perfect peace at home? Perfect peace? Perfect love? Is it there? What is spoiling the home life? How about in the church? Are there things in the church that really churn you and cause you to be segregated from your brother and sister, and some sister or some brother, some whatever it might be? Is there something that is eating at you? Why is it eating at you? What is happening to you in your home when negativities take root? What is happening? Here are the manifold fears that I'm going to itemize very carefully, very slowly. And you examine closely whether some of these things are really spoiling your peace. For instance, fear of something spoiling your expectations. You have plans, you have certain desires of something to happen. And you can see, hello, something is going to disturb my plans. Something is going to disturb what I was hoping for. I've set all my life's focus upon that. Or I've hoped for something badly and it's not going to happen. Fear? And as you have that fear, it spoils so many aspects in your life. I was reading from Steps to Christ, page 70, in reference to what spoils our peace. And here in paragraph 1 of page 70 it says, consecrate yourself to God in the morning, make this your very first work, let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. Now follow carefully. What must you do? I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Now notice, surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. If you're not prepared to do that, you will suffer torment. You will suffer it again and again, because if you cling to your plans and you want to make those plans happen, you're going to be filled with fear that they're going to fail, and you're going to be filled with a tenacious, manipulative spirit to make that thing happen at all costs. That is spoiling happiness. That is indulging fear. So if you are really in love with Jesus, you will say, all right, Lord, I don't mind. You want me to do this? If not, I won't do it. I surrender. There's another one. Are you afraid that your own opinion is not being respected? Do you have strong opinions in your home life? You have strong expectation that your wife, your husband, must not cross your opinion. You know, we're rattled with that in the world today. Women's liberation. I'm not going to submit myself to that man. That is rampant in the heart of women today. To have to surrender myself to my husband. No way. I've got my own opinion. And if he doesn't agree with my opinion, then I'm going to stand firm, and if it causes a separation, too bad. That creates stress. That creates unhappiness in the home. And it is a wave of stress and fear that circulates through all your life. But the words of Jesus must resound through the mind and heart. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Remember Jesus, he said, oh, let this cup pass from me. This is too hard. I can't cope with that. No, please. No, but no, your will, not mine, be done. And that way, fear is removed. Perfect peace. Oh, if we had only learned the lesson. There's another fear. Do you suffer phobias? You know, I'm dirty, I have to wash myself. I'm going to contaminate my food if I don't continually wash myself. That's a phobia. And in health reform, if we are not totally resting in Jesus, we will let health reform become a source of fear. For instance, the foods that I eat have been sprayed. And I'm afraid that I'm going to get sick because the food, the vegetables have been sprayed, the fruit has been sprayed. And so there are people today who, under the fear of that, will spend huge amounts of money to buy only food that has been grown organically. And they actually don't eat very well because they can't always get organic grown foods like that. And so I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy organic grown foods if you can and grow your own vegetables to grow organically. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is to not live in fear. I'm showing this from God's word. If we have phobias that our foods will do us harm, they indeed will. Because the poison of fear will cause the food to be poisonous to you. This is scientifically a fact. So if you eat with fear in your heart, in your mind, you will be tormented, and the food you eat that you think is going to do you harm, and I'm quoting it from Councils on Diet and Foods, page 104, if you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. And if you're afraid of poisons and ingredients in foods that they may do you hurt, let me read Mark 16, verse 18. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you afraid of spray poisons? If you can't get any other food, and you have to eat it because there's nothing else, don't be afraid of the poison. Because it says here, people will be able to drink poison and it won't even hurt them. In fact, fact, that was done to some people who were in Russia, who were being persecuted, and this communist called up this person. He had read in the Bible this statement. He says, all right, God says there that you can take a deadly thing and it won't kill you. Well, here I've got a plate on the table here with some liquid in it. It's poison. And there's the cup. You're going to drink it. But I'm just going to show you what it's going to do. He put it down on the floor next to the dog, and the dog was called upon to drink it, and he did. And within 2 minutes, he was on the floor writhing and died. He said, now, your turn. And there was a doctor there. And this man said, well, before I drink it, I want you to let me pray first. So he prayed, and then he drank it. And the doctor was watching him. 2 minutes passed, nothing. 5 minutes passed, nothing. He started to agitate and started to feel his pulse and check his blood pressure. Everything was normal. 10 minutes passed, nothing. And the commandant disappeared out of the room with fury. And the doctor became converted. Yes. We don't deliberately go and drink poison. But we don't have to be afraid of poison. Fear is poison. Let not your heart be afraid. Do you have fear every time you have a reflection upon your life and your weaknesses and your sinfulness and your memory of a terrible sin you have just committed? Do you have fear that your sins are too evil and you carry about a burden of fear because you are condemned and you cannot release yourself from the guilt and the condemnation? Do you have that? Is this a fear that you carry latently, and it burdens your chest, it burdens your heart? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 verse 20. 1 John chapter 3 verse 20. For if your heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God is greater than your heart. You have nothing to fear. You can read all through the scriptures. Isaiah 55:7. Let's read it. Isaiah 55 verse 7. A beautiful comfort that when I'm overwhelmed by the deep sense of my sinfulness, and I feel the guilt and I feel the condemnation, God is greater than that. Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you believe it? Why carry the burden? Do you want to go on doing those wrong things? Of course not. We confess. Now forget about it. Don't permit the inroads of the suggestion that your sins are too evil for you to be released from pester you. Perfect love casteth out that fear. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Who said it? The one that created you, O Jacob. He that formed you, O Israel. Fear not. For what? I have redeemed thee. How much do we really believe that? When you first believed that you were free, and then in crept the suggestions and the mistakes you made, and you felt, I'm already converted and I'm still sinning? Dreadful. I'm hopeless. No. I have redeemed thee. If you confess your faults, your sins, I will forgive you. Don't you know me, he says? I, the Lord, that created thee, that redeemed thee. Why are you holding on to fear about that? You see, we are afraid what people think of us because of our sins. And because we are afraid of what people think about my sin, I'm afraid of what the other person thinks about my sin. That's God. And I become anxious. Do you suffer that? Don't worry. Here in this beautiful statement of the faith I live by, page 113, it says this wonderful relieving appreciation. It's a faith I live by, page 113. We are not to be anxious. Is the word anxious here? Stress. We are not to be anxious about what Christ and God think of us, but about what God thinks of Christ, our substitute. Take it in. Perceive it. God looks upon me. If I'm a repentant sinner, and he doesn't think about me as being hopeless, he sees Jesus in my place. And I am not to be anxious about what God thinks about me, but not what God thinks about Jesus, my substitute. And that relieves me of all fear in reference to my sinful condition. Steps to Christ, page 72, paragraph 0. It says this: we should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. Do you sometimes carry that burden? Fear as to whether I'm going to be saved. I'm never going to make it. I'm fearing that reality, and it's really burdening me. All this turns the soul away from the source of our strength. Where shall be my strength? In confidence in the Lord is my strength. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust him. Talk and think of Jesus and let self be lost in him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fear. Here are practical directions. Then do you fear as you look at your financial situation? Oh, should have seen mine over the past. Family of 7 children. I won't tell you the rest. I saw no hope. I saw I was in debt for the rest of my life. And Sister White tells me we should get rid of debt. And if it means that you have to eat porridge for the rest of your days to pay off your debt, eat porridge and nothing else until you've paid your debt off. And all that wasn't even working in my life. Financial disaster looming up. Oh, and when we come to the last days, oh dear, if we're in debt, how can we survive through the persecution? All these fears that circulate through the being. What does Jesus say? Let's read it, Luke 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 27 to 31. Think, he says. Think. Look at the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will you clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye after what you shall eat and what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of in mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and that's why they're full of fear. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why worry? And the Lord has taught me that. How I look back with joy as to the terrible financial entanglements that I've been in, and the Lord melted them away. How? If we follow what is written in Steps to Christ. Page 122. Steps to Christ. Page 122. A beautiful answer to this fear. What I must do. You may be perplexed in business. Your prospects may grow darker and darker. And you may be threatened with loss. What happens? Stress. But do not become discouraged. Cast your care upon God. And remain calm and cheerful. Can you do that? Can you remain calm and cheerful when stress is hanging over you, over your money matters, and I'm in bed and I can't sleep at night? Fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Pray for wisdom to manage your affairs with discretion. So pray for wisdom to manage your affairs and thus prevent loss and disaster. Do all you can on your part to bring about favorable results. Jesus has promised his aid, but not apart from your effort. When relying upon our helper, you have done all you can, accept the results cheerfully. Stress is gone when you practice that. I have no stress. When I'm in debt, I have no stress. Because I'm doing my best, and I leave the rest with the Lord. And then he teaches me much. He's taught me much about finances by not being stressful. And as you're not stressful, you can see, that's where my difficulties were. And then, by learning without stress, you will make a better life for the future. No fear. Persecution. Peer pressure. The fear of man. Oh, the scriptures are rich with that. Don't be afraid of the faith of a man. Isaiah 51, 12 and 13. Isaiah 41, 10 to 16. Read it for yourself. Isaiah 41, 10 to 16, Isaiah 51, 12 and 13. Why are you afraid of man, he says? What is man? You know, I'm a person who is very much afraid of man by nature. I like to hide myself away from human beings. That's my nature. I love to be recluse. I love to hide myself away from human beings. Strange, isn't it, that I'm standing here with you? I take hold of my Lord and Savior and forget about the face of man. Whether they frown on me, whether they attack me, whether they smile upon me and say, oh, you're wonderful, nothing matters. The thing that matters is that my Lord and I are walking together. Oh, fear and contamination from the world. Remember that beautiful picture of Enoch? Of Joseph, of Daniel, where were they living? In utter corruption. Jesus of Nazareth, where was he living? Any good thing come out of Nazareth? What was the answer? In our high calling, page 278, which I read to you in paragraph 3 and 4. These men drew only to their souls, absorbed only in their souls those things which were good amongst the terrible corruption. That's what they did. And therefore they were not contaminated, because all the other things didn't sink in. My servant, seeing not, and hearing not. Yes, you can see it. You can see the corruption. You can see the awful nastiness, the horribleness, but it doesn't penetrate. all that you are taking into your soul is only that which is uplifting to your soul. Fear of disease, fear of accident, fear of mishaps, disasters. Read Psalm 91. Do you have a life insurance policy? Or do you have any insurance policy because you are afraid? If you're not afraid, the Lord will look after us. In Psalm 91 is our life insurance policy, is our policy of protection. If you read it in detail, as it puts it so beautifully there, that he who dwelleth where? Where am I to dwell? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with the feathers, under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Were you afraid of swine flu? You see, people get injections. Are you afraid of your children getting diseases? They get injections because they're afraid. But if you don't rest under the shadow of the Almighty, you better be afraid. If you don't place yourself deliberately and conscientiously by focus on Jesus under His protection, oh yes, you better go in and get an injection. That's right. But here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High is not afraid of those things. Nor for the pestilence, there it is, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Say, do you believe this? Then you must deliberately focus your heart strings upon it. So there are countless fears, too many for me to recount to you, but they are all comprehended in our release from them in the words of Isaiah 51, verse 13. Isaiah 51, verse 13. What was it that we read there? What do we forget? And forgettest that the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? That's the one I didn't read, didn't I? I just quoted it. When we are afraid of the oppressor. What do we forget? We have nothing to fear for the future except that we forget the way the Lord has led us in the past. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he was saying, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was in agony. You remember, his mind went back to all the wonderful mercies that God had revealed to him, and he broke through that fear barrier and cast out all fear and said, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And he was resurrected again. He had nothing to fear. You and I have nothing to fear if we forget not. Right, verse 12, I am he that comforteth you. Have you ever tried to comfort somebody and they would not be comforted? How do you feel? Husband, you know, dear wife, don't get upset, please. Oh, go away, I'm... And vice versa. if the Lord God of heaven wants to comfort me, and he says here, I am he that comforteth you, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid? Who are you that you should be afraid? Me, the creator of you, afraid? Why? Be afraid, O man, that shall die. Oh, if thou be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man that shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker. Concentrating on all the negatives? Come on, please, I'm your comforter. Let me comfort you. Don't look at those negativities. Break out of them. Perfect love. Do you love me? He says. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will protect you. I will care for you. Isaiah 44. Beautiful comfort here. Isaiah 44, verses 6 to 8. An understanding of a living God who has control over the universe. Why am I afraid? Cut it for good. Never ever permit fear to take your eyes off the great majesty of the universe. Isaiah 44 verses 6 to 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming, and shall come and let them show unto them. What does he say? Have you studied prophecy? You know exactly what's coming, don't you? And I'm the one, he says, that hath appointed the ancient people. I have appointed all these things to take place, because one nation is going to destroy the other, as they've done anciently. And they're going to destroy each other in Armageddon. I have told you all these things are going to come to pass. They shall come to pass. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Do you know any? Can you see him now? He's a sort of toying with our mentality here, and he's saying, come on, what's the problem? I'm the one who's coordinating all these disasters. And if I'm the one that is your friend, your father, do you think I'm going to let you be destroyed hopelessly with all this? Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. Who shall be thy confidence? Whatever it is, any fear, whatever fear you can discover in yourself, you have absolute precious answers from the Lord. He shall keep thy foot from being taken. He will. He shall do that. So praise the Lord. Do you ever have to give in to fear again? And I want to really lay it heavily upon your heart this morning. If we don't learn to trust our God the way we should, we have something to fear. Whether it be fear of your own plans being spoiled, whether it be your opinion not to be adhered to anymore, whether it be your phobias and fears of certain things that are created by this wicked world in which we live, fear of my sins being too bad, fear of my financial complications that I can only blame myself for, fear of persecution, of peer pressure, of the fear of man, fear of contamination spiritually and physically, fear of disease, accident, mishaps and disasters. Whatever fears you can identify. I am the Lord that is your confidence. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Rely upon the God of the universe who has an answer for every detail. And you know, if a servant of God takes hold of that, you know he's always right. And those who hate the thought that you are standing for what is right, and you stand quietly and calmly in defense of truth, do you have to fear those who are gnashing their teeth on you? Not at all. Let God be true, and every man a liar. So this morning, do you have a firm hold of God as your personal Savior, to be able to rest from all fear? Then no longer will you feverishly occupy your mind and feverishly go into an effort to control your circumstances, because that's what fear does. You will start to be motivated by fear. Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other thing. And it's revealed in your mannerism. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Stressful living is not ours to experience. And I want to conclude with Steps to Christ, these beautiful counsels that come directly from inspiration. Page 121, paragraph 2 and 3 through to 122, paragraph 1. It says, the psalmist says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Each day has its burdens. Is that correct? Yes. Its cares and perplexities. And when we meet, how ready we are to talk of our difficulties and our trials. Isn't that right? Oh, this has been happening to me this week, and that's been happening to me, and all this and all that. So many borrowed troubles intrude. So many fears are indulged. Such a weight of anxiety is expressed that one might suppose we had no pitying, loving Savior ready to hear all our requests and to be to us a present help in every time of need. Some are always fearing and borrowing trouble. Every day they are surrounded with the tokens of God's love. Every day they are enjoying the bounties of His providences, but they overlook these present blessings. Their minds are continually dwelling upon something disagreeable, which they fear may come, or some difficulty may really exist, which, though small, blinds their eyes to the many things that demand gratitude. Fear of what might happen affects us, doesn't it? If you are afraid of what might be happening because of your sins, because of your mistakes, then don't let your mind's eyes be blinded. The difficulties they encounter, instead of driving them to God, the only source of their help, separate them from Him because they awaken unrest and repining. Oh. Unrest and repining. Do you repine? Do we well to be thus unbelieving? Why should we be ungrateful and distrustful? Jesus is our friend. All heaven is interested in our welfare. Who is? All heaven. That's not just God. That's all the angels. And one angel is more powerful than Satan's powers. And he can just do one thing, just has to move his finger. And he's interested in us. And so is all of the other angels. And so is the Father in heaven. We should not allow the perplexities and worries of everyday life to fret the mind and cloud the brow. If we do, we shall always have something to vex and annoy. And if you think carefully with what I've shared with you, if you get vexed about something, it will create another vexation, it will create another vexation, and each vexation creates another one. And you will forever be in a restless state. We should not indulge a solicitude that only frets and wears us, but does not help us to bear trials. If I bear the trials without fretting and fear, I will conquer everything. And amen indeed to these beautiful realities. Let us never forget. Amen. Father, our God, we thank you that you have manifested yourself to us who live upon this planet of fear. You have brought Jesus into our midst, into the strong man's house, to break his power. And indeed, as we contemplate the wonderful truths, if we remember the teachings that have been conveyed to us in our past history, we indeed have been released from the fear that has held us in bondage. Father in heaven, as we have contemplated and explored your word this day, help us indeed not to forget that although fear wants to crowd itself upon our bosom, the love that you have ignited in our hearts will cast it all off immediately, Lord. For indeed, Satan does come with thoughts and feelings of fear, but we don't need to indulge them. We thank you for Jesus, the example in this. Whatever our fears, whatever the stresses that come into our home life, into our church life, help us, Lord, not to weary ourselves, but help us to gain the strength that comes from quietness and confidence in you, our Lord and Savior. Father in heaven, we thank you that you do give us this faith that we have just been singing about. We thank you that it is the faith of Jesus. We thank you that that faith can be transferred to us as we walk and talk with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. As we look at people like John, the disciple, who learnt the experience, Lord, thank you. And so grant us that whatever the future holds, what we have studied that is yet future, as it comes upon us, we can rejoice indeed in the trials and perplexities, because we trust in the power that has even orchestrated these terrible things, and trust in your wonderful redeeming love, that when you come to destroy the wicked, it is the year of thy redeemed, and we have nothing to fear. We live in this time, Lord, and we do cast ourselves upon your mercies, and we thank you indeed for your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.